Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we ask now that You would feed us with Your most precious Word that You have given to us. And we pray that You would feed us most surely with our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Excuse me. John chapter 1 at verse 6. And we're also going to be looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Days 12 and 13. 12 and 13. We looked at Lord's Day 13 last time. Excuse me. But it was fitting for this one too, so we'll do Lord's Day 12 again. First, looking at John chapter 1 at verse 6. Hear now the word of our God. There was a man sent from God. Excuse me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. If you'd look with me in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 877. Page 877, where we're looking at Lord's Day 12 and 13. Lord's Day 12 and 13. Question answer 31 asks, why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? Answer, because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who fully reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our deliverance. Our only high priest, who has delivered us by the one sacrifice of his body, and who continually intercedes for us before the Father, and our eternal King, who governs us by His Word and Spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the deliverance He has won for us. Question answer 32 asks, but why are you called a Christian? Answer, because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in His anointing. I am anointed to confess His name, to present myself to Him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. Lord's Day 13, question answer 33 asks, why is he called God's only begotten Son when we also are God's children? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace for the sake of Christ. Question answer 34, why do you call him our Lord? Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has delivered and purchased us, body and soul, from sin and from the tyranny of the devil to be his very own. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Remember, last Sunday I said that the Apostle John was like listening to a wise old grandpa whose every word was filled with meaning. And we saw that last week, and we are going to see that even more this week. What we have here is the gospel explained in great detail in only a few words. The first thing that we read about in this section is about the prophet John the Baptist. And his ministry is really important. We don't read very much about it as to the description of it. If you looked at the amount of verses that are dedicated in the Bible to the ministry of John the Baptist, it wouldn't be very many, but the place in redemptive history where the ministry of John the Baptist lies is of incredible importance. We see in all four of the Gospels, at the beginning, they all talk about the ministry of John the Baptist. And this is done for a very important reason, as we see here, because John explains to us precisely what was the reason for John the Baptist. Why did he come? Why was he born? What was his purpose? In verse 7, the Apostle John says, "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." John was the forerunner of Christ, that would proclaim to all the Savior, the King. Children, you can think of a king riding into the city on his horse, and there would be someone that would go before the king, probably running because they're just lowly peasants, right? They're just running. They don't get a horse. But they're running through the streets and they're yelling what? "Make way for the king!" Right? "Make way for the king!" To declare his coming. Remember in the book of Esther, the wicked man Haman was supposed to do that for Mordecai, and a funny twist in that story. But John the Baptist serves as this role for Jesus. He is the one that is to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. Remember in Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 we are told, "Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And Jesus tells us that John the Baptist is the Elijah prophesied about there in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. Now, why would John's ministry be alluded to as Elijah's ministry? Well, because Elijah's ministry was largely to call the people of God to repent and believe in the Lord. And that was John the Baptist's ministry. Remember, his baptism is described as what? A baptism of repentance. John the Baptist is proclaiming to the people of God over and over again, "Repent and believe, for the Christ is coming." He was bearing witness to the light by calling people to repent of their sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. This is what every minister is supposed to do in every sermon: lead you to Christ, point you to see with your eyes of faith the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. Because it has pleased God through the preaching of the word to point you to the Lord Jesus and to behold his glory. Notice in verse 7, read with me there again, "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him," notice the "him" there, "might believe." The translators of the New King James Version are making an interpretive point by not capitalizing the H in "him" there, making it clear that it is through John's ministry that many would be prepared for the coming of Christ. That is significant because it is through the preaching of the word, calling all to repent and believe upon Jesus, that those who are to be saved will be saved. It seems so simple. Sometimes we wonder, is attending the preaching of the Word of God really important to my spiritual life? John, right at the beginning of the Gospel, is saying emphatically, yes. It is by the preaching of the Word that you are given life and will be refreshed and renewed in that life. Because remember what we covered last time. How are you made? How was Adam and Eve made in the garden? How was everything in the world made? By the Word of God. How are you going to be renamed? By the Word of God. It is the same way. The next thing that John redirects our attention to in this section is that through Jesus, though Jesus is the light of the world, he was rejected by the world. We touched on this last time, however, you notice some more detail given in this section to make it clear what John means by the word world here. He doesn't just mean, as the Jews of that day would have thought, the Gentiles. Must be those people. Right? We're all good at that. Must be those people out there. They're not as good as us. They're the world. That's what John must mean. No, that's not what John means. He means everyone. In verse 11, John makes it very clear. It wasn't just the Gentiles that rejected Christ, but even the Jews, the chosen people of God, the people to whom John the Baptist had specifically come to minister, the ones whom Jesus did almost all of his public ministry to, the ones who have the witness of the entire Old Testament. He was rejected by them. Just to reiterate again what we considered last week, the reason that the world has rejected Christ is because we all, left to ourselves, are spiritually dead and blind. Even though Christ shines brighter than the noonday sun, we, left to ourselves, cannot see him. Even though a dead or blind person cannot see the light of the sun, doesn't make the sun's light any less real. They're just unable to see it. So it is true of Christ. He shines brightly the glory, truth, and love of God. And it is important that John points this out to us first before we get to the next section about how God saves us. It's important that John points out that the entire world is dead and blind, unable to see and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this shows us our complete inability to save ourselves or contribute anything to our salvation. As we read over this passage, we should not think, well, man, those Jews in the first century AD, what was wrong with them? How could they be so stupid? Or, wow, I can't believe the world today. Look at all the festivities that are around, all to remind us of Christ, and they don't see him. They don't see their need for him. And we maybe say, wow, how could they miss him? But this passage reminds us we all started in the same place. Dead and blind. Dead in our sins and trespasses, and blind to the things of God and the salvation provided in Christ. But this then leads us to the final section of the passage, verses 12 and 13, if you'd read with me there. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Arminian will only read verse 12, we're getting verse 13. But notice how John says this, because it is incredibly deep and simple at the same time. There were many who received Christ, and they received Christ, and were saved. Christ gave them, because they believed, the right to become children of God. But then you have to come to verse 13. And you actually have to come to verse 13 before you can understand verse 12. Verse 13 gives further details regarding those who believed and received Jesus. These people who believed were first born again, not of blood. Meaning that the new birth that John is talking about is not being born a Jew, not being born a physical descendant of Abraham. That's not why they were born again. That's not why they were called children of God. You have to think about how amazing that would have been to the Jews of that time to hear those words. Because it was built into their culture, their Jewish subculture, that they were children of God based on their physical birth. And John is saying, no. It isn't physical birth that John is referring to. Nor is it the will of flesh, meaning it's not because of the desire for new and eternal life. These people didn't have the desire to be alive, to have eternal life. That's not why God chose them. That's not why they believed. It wasn't that they wanted life and therefore they believed. It is rather that they were given life and therefore believed, as we're going to see. Nor is it the will of man. Meaning that there's nothing in us that wanted Christ and salvation. The new life that we have is given to us apart from our naturally wanting it. And you hope you see there the threefold progression that John is building up upon. It isn't because of your physical descendants that you believe in Jesus. It isn't because you have a natural desire to believe in Jesus. It isn't because part of you wants to believe in Jesus and have eternal life in and with Him. I hope you see the building and mounting opposition that lies within us to believing in Christ. I hope we come to see that left to ourselves, we are entirely helpless and hopeless to believe in Christ and receive eternal life. Instead, the ones who receive and believe upon Christ are first the ones who are born again of God. Notice, John has no problem understanding these two truths together, that we have a responsibility to believe in Jesus, and in order for us to believe, we must be born again by God. He has no problem understanding those two truths together. And so the call goes forth just as it did in John the Baptist's day. Repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you must give God all the glory for your salvation, because even your believing was only made possible by Him causing you to be born again. From start to finish, our salvation is all of God. And what a salvation it is. Because going back to verse 12, read with me there, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." We live in a day and an age that is obsessed with status. We see it in people, how they carry themselves. You can even kind of gather something about somebody just by the way they walk and their posture, right? You can gather what they think of themselves, how they're doing that day in life. What is their status? You can tell that. You can tell it by the way people dress, what cars they drive or houses they buy. And then we've had the advent of social media, and our society went into a status craze. So people are posting on social media where they are, what they're eating, and even have emojis to express what they are feeling. And so many people today are concerned about status, and they want everyone to know their status, even if their status is sad or depressing or whatever it is. Everyone wants to portray a certain image in order to receive some sort of affection from other people, whether it's sympathy or whether it's joy or whatever it is. And some of you are more of the tech curmudgeons, I call you. But even in your ridicule of such superficiality, you are wanting your status to be made known, that you want nothing to do with the world in the cloud. But this Christmas season, we are reminded of something really important here in verse 12 about our status and our identity. We are children of God. We have been adopted by the blood of Christ into the family of God, and that is legally binding by the highest court of heaven. So children, no matter what presents you get this year, as hard as it is, you have to remember you have no reason to be jealous of what your siblings or your friends got. If someone makes fun of you because you got something or didn't get something, don't let it bother you. I know it's hard. I was a child once too. But we have to remind ourselves of what is the all-important truth. Our identity and our status is not defined by the things of this world. I hate to bring it up, but the big status thing of the world today is what? You all know what it is. Vaccinated or unvaccinated. Right? And you know something? There's nothing in the Bible about that. Nothing to suggest that that is really important. And I know some will say, well, they didn't have vaccines back then, so how could they speak to it now? You know, true. But they had other medicines and things that they used to heal diseases, and yet there's no emphasis of those things in the Bible. I can count probably on both hands the number of times where the Scripture speaks to those things only in terms of wisdom. Why is that? Because by far the most important thing is spiritual life and our status before God, not people. And so no matter what happens to you in this life, we are reminded we are children of God. If we are poor, we are reminded we are rich in Christ. If our family has abandoned us, we are reminded we belong to the family of God. If we are not well liked or loved by those around us, we are reminded that we are loved by God as His own children. If we are suffering health problems, we are reminded that in Christ we are healed spiritually now and will be physically in the future. If we face death, we are reminded that we already live in Christ, and those who die do not really die, but always live. If we go through times of incredible weeping and sadness, we are reminded that we have every reason in the midst of that sadness to be joyful, and that there will be a day when Christ Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. If we are going through times of great turmoil and uncertainty in our lives, we are reminded in Christ we have peace. When we have committed grievous sin, sin that has enormous consequences of destruction, even then we are reminded we are forgiven in Christ and restored in Christ. And we, our status before God is innocent, not guilty, because of what Christ has done. Christ and all, as we think about all the things that we have set wrong in this world, Christ will set them right. And so, brothers and sisters, if you want to boast in anything, boast only in the cross of Christ. We all have that natural tendency, don't we? To boast. And it's the natural tendency of all the things of this world to cause us to boast. It's the great temptation of social media. It's the great temptation of all the things of this world. Let me tell you about my life. Let me boast in what's happened to me, what good things I have, how great my family is, etc., etc. But as we look over these first few verses here in the Gospel of John, we are reminded that we have no reason to boast except in the cross of Christ. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, we are reminded that all we have and all that we are is because of Christ and what He has done for us. Because no matter what happens to you in this life, remember this unchanging truth. You who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ do so Because you were and are born again by the Holy Spirit, and you are and ever shall be children of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit belong all glory and honor. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would worship you now with all that we are, because we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in his magnificent glory. As we think upon the great salvation that is ours only in him, and it is applied to us only by the Holy Spirit through your most precious word, we are thankful, Lord. We are full of joy and thanksgiving in this time because we know that we are secure. There is so much fear in this world. And yet, Lord, we are reminded again and again we have no reason to fear because you are with us. We have no reason to worry about what our status is in this world, because we are reminded that the only status that really matters is secure in heaven. We are your children. We have been saved and redeemed and brought into your very presence as your children. And that even your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. What a blessing. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would rejoice this day and every day in this sure hope we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.